be opening your Bibles to Revelation chapter 11. And while you're doing that, I want to say that song we sang a while ago, Jesus is Coming Again, I noticed it and I saw something I've never seen before. It's a pre-tribulation rapture hymn, because it says when he comes, we're going to cast our crowns at his feet. So you have the rapture, you have the judgment seat of Christ, where we receive gain or loss of reward, not salvation. And then in Revelation 5, when we see him, we're going to cast our crowns at his feet. So that's a pre-tribulation rapture. And then the tribulation doesn't open until Revelation 6. So I'd never seen that before. It's just like that hymn we sing, Joy to the World. That's a millennial hymn. That's about the kingdom that's coming. It's not about joy to the world he's born. It's about joy to the world that, if you read the words in that hymn closely, you'll see that it's talking about the millennial reign. Revelation chapter 11, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 14, Dead Witness Day. Now this morning we looked at the mighty angel and the little book. Tonight we're going to look at two witnesses. We're in the midst of an interlude again. Between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. We'll look at the seventh trumpet next Sunday night. But giving John a chance to recover from all these terrible visions about the judgments that are coming, and gives us a little respite break to encourage us as well. And I believe that chapter 10 and chapter 11 lets us know that God has not forsaken the righteous, and he has not forgotten the evil of the wicked. And he will repay just recompense. So this is an interlude before we get into the seventh trumpet next Sunday night, Revelation chapter 11. I think it's verse 15 through 19 next week. Now let's look at this, and I shared this thought with you before, that God is never without a witness. If we don't witness, somebody will. And and this is the way it works. We have the church age, and we are his witnesses. We are instruments, faithful witnesses that he uses to build his kingdom or his church. After the church is taken out, you got the 144,000 Jewish evangelists that go out proclaiming the kingdom. And after that, you got the two witnesses that we're going to be looking at tonight. What a task and a ministry they have. So even in the tribulation, with the absence of the church, you had the 144,000, and you had these two witnesses in our text. And we'll see before we get through with Revelation, you'll even have angels flying through the air with, like, so-called proclaiming the kingdom, you know. So he's never without a witness. Now let's look first of all at the temple in verses 1 through 2, 1 and 2. And there, now I understand that these passages today have been complex, and I understand that. I'm not brave enough to do it tonight. We might do it next week, but have a pause and ask you to, if you have any questions, you know, just bring them up. And y'all have a lot of questions, because I get them. You know, if I don't know the answer, I don't know the answer. But we'll look at them. Now look at the temple. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God. Now this is the tribulation temple that's rebuilt with the Jews are worshiping, okay? And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without, and that's the court of the Gentiles, and now that's important. But the court which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 40 and 20 months. So John was given a task of measuring the temple, the inner temple, the holy place, the holy of holies. The Greek word, again, speaks here of the inner temple. He was to measure it and the people. Now, who are these people? Well, they're the faithful Jews, believing Jews that were worshiping in the tribulation temple. And this is spoken of in Matthew 24:15, the tribulation temple. Second Thessalonians 2:4 and Daniel 9:27. Now, why measure? Why measure the temple? Certainly God is not, doesn't have holy dementia or holy Alzheimer's. He knows the temple. So why measure the dimensions of this temple? Well, many believe it's an evaluation. This is my property. I'm sovereign. I have ownership of this. And he's getting ready to show Israel the protection and preservation that's coming about. And that could very well be. And measuring the people may show God's notice of those who faithfully worship in the tribulation period. In fact, God knows right today those who are in church houses everywhere that are really worshiping in truth and in spirit, right? And a lot of it, as I said in my prayer a while ago, and it's according to what church you're in, or what so-called church you're in, a lot of it is strange fire that is contrary to true biblical worship, and it's not acceptable to God. God's not pleased with smoke and fire coming out in the auditorium. God's not pleased with psychedelic lights flashing. You know, this is not a rock concert, right? We are here to worship the Lord. And now, many believe the rebuilt temple is where the Muslim holy site of the Dome of the Rock is, or close to it. And what will allow the Muslims to let Israel rebuild the temple? Well, if you're like me, and you may not be, I believe in Ezekiel 37:38, Ezekiel's war will happen right almost at the mid part of the tribulation period. And then the Islamic nations that march down upon Israel will be destroyed with Russia. And then the Antichrist will allow them to rebuild the temple. Now, this is not the Lord's temple. This is the rebuilt temple by the Antichrist. The Lord's next temple is in the millennial reign. But I want you to notice something very important here in verse 2. Why leave out the court of the Gentiles? See, this is just for Jews. Why leave that out? Well, because the Gentiles will tread underfoot the city of Jerusalem for 42 months under the times of the Gentiles. And Israel is under that yet. And they're not going to be out from under the times of the Gentiles until Jesus comes back. The times of the Gentiles is from 606 B.C. till the return of Christ. Right now, they're in the time of the Gentiles. And we, the church age, we are in the time of the church age. And so they will have dominion upon, remember the four empires in Daniel? And they will have dominion over Israel until God yanks the chain, if you will. And so Gentile nations will tread down the city of Jerusalem until the last half of the tribulation period. So those who don't believe in the pre-rapture, pre-tribulation rapture, and the millennial return of Christ, and what we're saying there is that the church will be taken out before the tribulation period starts. I don't read after any post-tribulation people or all-millennial people. I can defend what I believe. But there's a lot of people that believe the church is going through the tribulation. But if you interpret Revelation like we've been interpreting, you can't see nothing else except a rapture before the tribulation begins. Now, I would say to those friends who believe that the church is going through the tribulation, I would remind them here that it's not the church being measured to be protected. It is the Jews in the temple being measured. But note the Gentiles are not measured. Why? Because they're either martyred for the faith or they've been raptured. Secondly, notice the ministry of the two witnesses in verses 3 through 6. See the measure of their ministry. Look in verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. I like that. Unto my two witnesses. And that's what we are. We are his witnesses, right? I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And then he says in verse 5 and 6, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth. I'm glad I don't have that power. You know, I would have done reap some kind of destruction. And if any man will hurt them, fire will proceed out of their mouth. Now this is until God gets through with them. And he says here, and devour their enemies, And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Wow. Look at verse 6. These have the power to shut heaven, and it rained not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Man, God knew what he was doing when he didn't make me one of the two witnesses, you know, when that happened. So we see the measure of their ministry. 1,260 days. Charles Ryrie believes this refers to the first 3.5 years since the coming of the Antichrist in verse 7, halts their witness. Warren Wiersbe, who went home to be with the Lord, says that the 144,000 have to be saved and sealed. Mark MacArthur believes that this is speaking of the last half, which I believe, he does not show his true character until the last half of the tribulation. See, the church is taken out. I say, all right, you don't have the church anymore. The Antichrist comes on the scene, this world leader, and he tells Israel, I'll protect you from all your enemies, and he allows them to build the temple back. And but 3.5 years into that, he sets himself up in as an image of himself, the false prophet, head of the harlot ecumenical church that's left behind, and through trickery allows the image to speak. And then the Jews will flee to the mountains. That's Matthew 24:15. You know, you've been deceived. This man is not the Christ. He's the Antichrist. So, and he really shows his true character. Kind of like some of the politicians we have when they're first elected, they kind of a centrist, right? But after they're elected, they go right to their radical programs, right? And that's what he's going to do. So we see the ministry of the two witnesses. Look at the manner of their ministry in verses 4 through 6. Now let's read that. We'll get back into who these two men are in just a moment. We done read that, didn't we? Two olive trees, candlesticks, the miracles they're performing, fire out of their mouth, holding back the rain, shut up heaven, powers to turn the water into blood. We see their character, two olive trees and lampstands. Olive trees comes from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 3, and Zechariah chapter 4, verse 14. Joshua and Zerubbabel and Joshua. And so these men will have the same kind of power. They're anointed, and they calls them the lampstands. Again, symbolic, they carry the light of God. And now you notice that verse 4 through 6 tells us a little bit about who these two men are. Because the four miracles that are mentioned here in verses 4 through 6 were done by Elijah. Elijah did the first two, and Moses did the last two miracles. So I believe this, along I'm in good company, that these men are Elijah and Moses. Who were the two men on the Mount of Transfiguration? It saw Jesus, right? Moses and Elijah. Now others believe it's Enoch and Elijah. Someone says that's the people living at that time. Still others believe it's Zerubbabel and Joshua from the lampstands in Zechariah 4. Now, this is what happens when you interpret Scripture allegorical and you don't take it literal. Some people believe it's talking about the Scriptures and the church. But if you got the pre-tribulation rapture church, it can't be the church. And then we see the martyrdom of the two witnesses in verses 7 through 10. This is when it gets good. This is when you need to tune in, okay? Look in verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh... verse 7. And when they had finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit. By the way, let me stop there. I'm not going to heaven till God's through with me, right? When he's through with me, it won't be on a plane. But when he's through with me, I'll go to heaven, right? Now notice what he says, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, that's the Antichrist, energized from hell, be a human, but he'll be energized from hell, shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Verse 8, and their dead bodies, now notice that, that's important, because it's their bodies that's dead and asleep, the spirit and soul is not. That's why I had a conversation with somebody about that tonight. He says, their dead bodies shall lie in the street of that great city. Now, what is that great city? Read it. Which is spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So it's what city, church? Jerusalem. Now, so we see here, their the manner of their ministry. Look at their character. You saw the two olive trees, their conduct. They're going to work miracles, first two, that of Elijah and that of Moses. Even the Jews believe there's Moses and Elijah. And here we see their martyrdom. At the end of their ministry, when their ministry is terminated, only when God is through with them, will God allow them to touch him. Until then, they're invincible. You know, I don't watch the kind of movies that some people watch. I know there's a big deal about this Game of Thrones. I don't even know what it is, you know. And you see on TV and commercials about how they're able to do all these feats and things like that. But these two men will. They will have great power. But this beast comes and gets his power from the abyss, and he will kill them. God will allow him to kill them. By the way, let me say that again. I mean, there's so much theology. People say, well, Satan tried to take my life. Well, he may have, but he can't unless God allows him to. Are y'all with me? Right? He doesn't have that kind of power. The beast then gets his power from the abyss, and he will help the Antichrist and first beast and the second beast in Revelation 13. We'll look at those when we get there. This is all part of his plan here. They get rid of these people who are speaking about Jesus and speaking about the Word of God and speaking about calling us unrighteous. You know, sounds familiar, don't you? I mean, they don't love us. They don't like us. And they're going to be happy when we're gone, right? And they want to silence us and get rid of us. So it's always been that way. But Revelation speaks of this first and second beast in Revelation 13. The Antichrist and the false prophet. Now, don't hold me too radical here. I'll explain to you why I believe that the false prophet is the Pope and the false church is the Catholic Church. And I'll explain that to you in Revelation 17 and 18. And then we see the exhibit of the man. Look what they did with him in verses 8 and 9. And all that dwell upon the earth. All. Now, what does all mean in the Greek? Anybody? All. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are, now notice this, whose names are not written in the book of life. See? Believers will not, because their name is written in the book of life. He says, of the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Oh, I'm in verse 13, ain't I? Okay. Chapter 13. Okay. Man, that was a good preaching right there anyway, right? Look in verse, man, I'm getting confused here. I'm not drinking enough water, Brother Larry. Verse 8 and 9, okay? And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, and also our Lord, where our Lord was crucified. And they, the people and kindred and tongues of all nations, shall see their dead bodies 3 days, and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. They're not going to allow them to be buried. They're having a dead witness day. The world is celebrating the death of these two witnesses. Now, how is all the world going to see that if they're not there? Yeah. I believe Fox News will be raptured. And they'll be watching it on CNN, right? Right? Y'all know that was a joke, right? Huh? Oh. Oh, okay. All right, you heard it first right there. New theology. Well, there's a lot of people on Fox News that are Catholic. Y'all know that? Well, you need to do your studying. But anyway, their dead bodies are going to be put on public display in the street of Jerusalem. They'll be watching it on TV. Can't you imagine the coverage? These two witnesses that are harmed men so bad and so evil. Now they've been killed and we can celebrate now, right? And you Christians who don't let a woman have a choice, and you Christians that don't let two men marry, and even though they say they love one another, you're bigoted, right-wing, fundamental, and we're glad you're getting out of here, right? So you hear the same thing, right? And so they're going to be on exhibit for the whole world. Now notice the effect of their murder in verse 10 of Revelation 11. And they that dwell upon the earth. Now this is important. You might want to underline that. And they that dwell upon the earth. It's mentioned 11 times in Revelation. It never speaks of the church. It speaks of those who are not saved. Earth dwellers. Okay? And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another. Wow. Dead Witness Day. Because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. They tormented us, and now we're glad that they're dead. Right? Isn't that sad? We torment them, don't we? By just telling them that the way to heaven is exclusive through Jesus Christ. That's torment. We're not loving. And so we see the effect of that. Their death will be celebrated as a holiday. And for 3.5 days, they probably already put it on the calendar and already have it ready to celebrate in the next year. And someone said that this will be the world's last Mardi Gras, you know. And this is the only reference, by the way, this is the only reference of rejoicing by earth dwellers in the tribulation period. They have nothing to rejoice about, but they're rejoicing over the two dead witnesses. The only place in the tribulation where it said that they had a reason to rejoice. They tormented them. And the gospel message does torment the unbeliever. Talking about somebody's a sinner, talking about I got to repent, I've got to quit this and quit that lifestyle, I've got to come to faith in Jesus Christ. There's many gods and many ways to those gods. Who are you Christians to tell us that the only way to heaven is through Jesus? So that torments them, right? And the hearts of, we were talking about that before church tonight. Folks, they're lost. People are lost and they don't have the light we have. And their heart has not been pricked. And so they don't, we get our marching orders from the Bible. They don't, because they don't believe it, right? And they can't believe it until there's a work in their heart. So it's going to be a happy day there for the world. But notice things change, the resurrection of the two witnesses. Notice someone said that you may kill the prophet, but you can't kill the prophecy, right? You may kill the messenger, but you can't kill the message, right? Now, notice the deliverance in verse 11 and 12. And after 3 days, what does that remind you of? Resurrection. And see, your buzzer's not working, Tina. Okay? Okay. If you're going to be on Jeopardy, you got to be quick with it, right? Yeah. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them. See, their bodies were dead, right? And their spirit went back into them. Spirit of God re-entered them, right? Now notice what it says. Entered into them. And they stood upon their feet. Hallelujah. Man, wow. But Larry, we're going to be witnessing this from heaven. The church is. And they stood upon their feet. I tell you what. I mean, right now, my legs are getting ready to dance. I mean, Teresa, we'll dance after the service. We can't do it in church. But we're Baptists, right? But, man, they stood upon their feet. Wow. Can't you imagine? CNN? Commentators? Well, something went wrong here. Get another camera shot of that. Something's wrong here somewhere. You know? Notice what it says. They stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them that saw them. Verse 12. And they heard a great voice. I know I'm about to break up because I'm just so amazed at the power of our God. Amen. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither, come up hither. That's the same voice we're going to hear at the rapture. Come up hither. And we heard it. Go back, hold your thumb there in Revelation 12. Go back to Revelation 4:1. It's what John heard when he was caught up into heaven. A picture of the rapture. Look in Revelation 4:1. After this, I looked and beheld a door was opened in heaven. And church age is over, 2 and 3. And the first voice which I heard was, it were a trumpet saying, talking with me, said, come up hither, right? And so we're going to hear it. John heard it. Moses and Elijah heard it. And it says, come up hither. Now notice the disaster here in verses 13 and 14. And the same hour was there a great earthquake. And a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were frightened and gave glory to God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Remember the last three trumpet judgments or the three woes. They really get bad. And we're waiting for the last woe, the seventh trumpet. The remnant there in verse 13, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. I fall in the camp with a lot of other men that the remnant here refers to those who are not killed, but yet will get saved. So you have the second of three woes passed, and you've had the fifth and sixth trumpet, and then we'll look at next Sunday night the seventh trumpet. That seventh trumpet judgment will bring in the seven bowl judgments, which are really severe and lead us very quickly right to the return of Christ in Revelation 19 that Brother Ray was talking about this morning. So you have the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowl judgments or vile judgments. And then the Lord comes in Revelation 19. Now next week, we're going to be looking at the seventh trumpet, Revelation 11, 15 through 19. There's a lot of good stuff right there packed in that verses 15 through 19. And we'll unpack it next Sunday night.